Bendigo Business Stories podcast, produced by B Bendigo, acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises the continuing connection to lands, waters and community. We pay our respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to the elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to our Women in Business series as part of the Bendigo Business Stories podcast, proudly produced by B Bendigo and sponsored by McKern Steel. McKern Steel is a leading supplier of high-quality structural steel for residential projects across Victoria. Located across three venues in Bendigo, they are dedicated to keeping their business regionally based. McKern Steel are also an active player in the community through the McKern Foundation, which is focused on contributing to community projects that benefit the health and well-being of youth. This season is dedicated to celebrating women in our business community who are driving change, breaking barriers, and inspiring others with passion and determination. Join me, your host Kimberly Finesse, as we talk to local women about their career journey. We'll talk about the challenges they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the success they've achieved along the way. This season is about something more than just sharing their individual stories. It's about recognising the invaluable contributions that women make to our community and our local economy every single day. It's about celebrating their resilience, their creativity, and their commitment to excellence. Now let me introduce you to our special guest. How would I say hello in Spanish?
Hola.
So hola, Luz. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kimberly.
You're welcome. I mean, you're someone who we could Google and there would be quite a story online. It's not going to fit all in one podcast. One of your big projects is called Sister Works. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone lives in Bendigo, I hope they've heard of that. But I want to know, just before we get started, just a little bit of background. How did you come to Bendigo?
We are a city people who has lived in big cities all our life. But always in Colombia, in our native country, and we always has a holiday house, yes, a farm where to go and have connection with Nasha. When we came, we are late migrants. I came when I was 45 years old. Yeah, no money, no English, no connections, no possibilities to work. Yeah, when we start to work. We start to put a little bit of money outside, thinking that in the future we can buy a piece of land, and because this will be our superannuation, yeah. And we found a beautiful place in the world called Moldon. There are many things that connect us with Colombia. It has a little bit of hills. In Colombia, there are huge mountains, but at least here we can have a couple of hills that we can see from the top. And love antiques and vintage. And we were vintage and antique collectors in our country. This, the town from the first year that we found is 14 years ago. We start to come. And one day we have a couple of hundred something dollars. And we bought a vacant piece of land there, full of blackberries, sakas, a piece of land that nobody wanted. And we thought that was a beautiful adventure. The first thing that we bought was a $1,000 caravan. And we put the caravan there. And we started to be called, I started to be called the caravan lady, because it's in the middle of the main street, very close to the shops, and the caravan ladies and her husband start to clean the land and plant native trees. My husband is an architect, and he has been architectural designer in Australia, doing a lot of designs for families and renovation and new homes, but never built in this country. And this land gives him the possibility to build his dream house, our superannuation house. And this is, and 2021, after COVID, after resigning to Sister Works, feeling uprooted again, I lost the possibility to live in Colombia 14 years ago, and I lost my business because my business needed a manager, not an entrepreneur. And with this feeling, try to rebuild my life. The decision was I'm going to go to live in Maldon. And on 1st of January 2021, we start a new life in Regional Victoria. In the beginning, in a rented house, while the community and the council allow us to build a house. And from October, living in the middle of this beautiful town. This is our beginning. Bendigo is our place to come, is our place to connect, is the city that we saw with a lot of possibilities as well. Yeah. And this is why we are here, connecting with Bendigo and big connections, big business connections.
You must have resilience, belief in yourself to set up a home with little to nothing. How hard was it to find a job here in Australia?
Okay, so this is part of the challenge. When I came here, I'm a professional woman who has been working from 16 years old. With a lot of educations, yes. People can have a look what are my education background. The first thing that you found is that nobody wanted to give you a job because you don't speak correctly the language and they don't trust in your skills. And each time that I went to my free English classes, a woman with no money, looking for resources, how to learn the language, because it's the first thing that we need to do. I found that all of us, independent how good or bad is our English, all of us are asking, give me a job, give me an opportunity to showcase who I am, all of us. And in my reflection, studying with women with a lot of barriers on employment, yeah? I'm a privileged woman. I have education. I learn the language quick. Yes, I need to write and read. I am not a shy person. I can ask you, I don't understand, please repeat. But many of us do not have that. And I found that I was struggling with my visa, with my language, with no money in the dinner table. I had a privilege. I have something that many of us didn't have. Also, in that time, I realized that there were a gap in the market. The moms who are the migrant moms, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 5 years ago, last week ago, the moms, we are always backwards in our process of integration to the new country because we need to look after first for our family. And when I realized that my free English classes mate were long-term an employee, long-term settled, full of barriers of employment, I said, hey guys, let's do something together. If they are not going to give us a job, we are going to create our own jobs. And this is the beginning of SisterWorks, an obsessive woman looking for commercial opportunities, for employment opportunities, for training opportunities. Probably the thing that I understood 14 years ago is that we learn by doing. We don't learn English first in the whiteboard, then we learn how to make a CV, and then we learn how to do an interview. We learn in contact with the day-to-day activity. And we needed to develop a model that is learning by doing. Yes, we learn by doing how to work in Australia. Let's find works that allow us to integrate or to connect with the real Australia. No works that gave us to slavery. Yeah, because we know also that jobs are connected with slavery in Australia. Yeah, the cleaners, the factory, there are many, many jobs, the farmers. Yes, sometimes the people take advantage of us because of the language, the fear, and the lack of knowledge where we are. This is how we are going to create jobs, our own jobs. And entrepreneurship is something So if people don't create, we are not going to be job seekers, we are going to be job makers. And I become a job maker. A thousand of women have get opportunities because they just need someone who trusts in them. Yes, the opportunity to showcase their skills. And this was the beginning of this amazing charity that now is flourished by itself, yeah? But probably learning from, o sea, in COVID, feeling what is next, I create in 1 month my next venture. The first condition is, I think so, the charity system is broken. I think so, on the way that the grassroots organizations who are doing a lot start to grow, the concern is more how to pay the bills and the employment that they generate, and sometimes they lose the vision because we are begging for money. And if we are going to empower people to work and be economic independent, we can keep begging for money. So migrant women in business become a company, PTD, LTY, paying tax from day one, GST, paying everything in full amount to support entrepreneurial migrant women who already have a product or service to sell. And entrepreneurs, we don't need business plan trainers or finance or cash or planning, big planning things. We don't know how we are going to make the money, how we are going to make financial projections, something that is not for a startup business. We need these commercial opportunities, where to sell my products. That is not my Instagram or my Facebook or the market. Sometimes our products and services are in the wrong sales channel. So we need to start to identify what are the sales channels where entrepreneurial migrant women can sell.
So if you can't find them on Instagram and Facebook, where are your sales channels?
The sales channels, to put an example, so we create something very similar to Etsy, a multi-vendor platform where the woman own their store, and we help them independent of the level of English or digital or business literacy. We help them to set up the store and manage their store. And the money goes straightforward to them. We just take the commission when the customer pay. But then we realize that they have beautiful products that they can wholesale or they can offer to corporations. So we start to develop brochures and we start to look for a wholesale market, like a Melbourne Gift Fair or Sydney Gift Fair, and we go together. The women learn to identify what are the products that they can give a 50% markup to the wholesale buyer. Yes, how to do their brochure, how many business days they are going to deliver the wholesale stuff, what are the minimum amount, things that looks normal for people in business, but is not normal for artisan and macro businesses.
And yeah, Making sure they're not taken advantage of as well.
Always making them aware of the value, because this is something also that we need to start to change in the consuming part, yeah? Is that we need to learn who make the thing that I'm buying, who are, and where, and track a little bit, yes, if this is fair or not fair. The product or the service need to be great, because at the end you buy something that you need, but we are adding value if you know that it's environmentally friendly, locally made, with a great story in the back. Yeah. So this is how the process of migrant women in business start. But there is no migrants in the little towns. The most of the migrants are in the big cities. And in the big cities, they are struggling as well. But I am living in a 1,500 populations town. where the migrants who are business owners, usually are mostly men. They are not engaged with the community because they don't feel they belong to the town. They just come from Bendigo, from Ballarat, and they work in the town and go to their homes because there is no welcoming staff. Still, they are the owners of the big supermarket or the Australia Post or the pharmacy, whatever. They are not engaged, and they are men. But I start to find that from the 681 active ABMs that Moldon has, 99% are macro businesses. One, two people, three people, no more than that. Most of them women, 70% of them women. And they face the same problem of migrant women, business owners. And I just, in January, in November last year, I said, I need to focus in my town, and I live in my town. I can keep working digital, yeah? There are more and more and more services offering support to migrant women, but there is no services supporting micro businesses in small towns. And in November, one of the programs that we developed in Migrant Women Business became my new business. And it's fun because at the beginning I thought that my talents were just for migrant women, that I couldn't left this, and I feel a little bit trapped. And I think so, we humans, we create our own barriers. It's not other people who create the barriers, it's us who create our own barriers. And thanks to one of the local business people in the town who give me the space. He has a business hub. He's an entrepreneur exploring new things. And with Jamie, we start to dream together how to help a town where the business are completely disconnected. Yeah, they compete each other, or they are so busy in the business, not on the business, that they don't have the time to talk with others and start to explore collaborations. And at the end, I understood that I am a connector, that my role is to help people to work together, yeah? And macro businesses, I love also data, yeah? And I said all the time, from the 2.5 million businesses, active ABN, that Australia have, 2.1 are macro businesses. 1.5 million are one people business. And we are 35% of the economy of this country, and there is no support for this, or the macro businesses. And 70% of the regional businesses in small towns are people.
Mm. And like it's that. Lonely as well. We it's operate a, so it, isolated.
Yeah, this loneliness, this lack of, sometimes also lack of vulnerability, to show vulnerability and look for the resources. And sometimes we are so busy paying the bills of how I'm going to pay my bills of my rent of this month. Yeah, how I'm going to keep surviving my little business, that we don't have the time to connect with others. And it's clear that in my journey, one of the big solutions is together we are strong. Together we have a voice. Together we can knock government, local, state, national, worldwide, and change the narrative. Yeah? 4,000 corporations get all the attraction in this country.
It's not a lot, is it, really?
It's not a lot. No. If we talk about 2.1 million macro businesses.
The popular people.
Yeah. And I think so, other thing that we need to be very clear is the difference between macro business and small business. Because a small business, everybody said, it's my small business. But all the resources come to when your small business is between 5 to 20 employees, when your income revenue is more than $500,000 a year. And one, two people business, $50,000, $100,000 a year. the kind of customized support that they need is completely different to a 5 to 20 employees business.
So with SisterWorks, you now run a multi-million dollar business. Did you ever dream of yourself in that position?
No, I think so. There are different between be entrepreneur and be a business owner. Yeah.
Mm.
Obviously, most of us are business owners, but entrepreneurs, we are full of ideas, do us, make things happen. We are movers and shakers, social changes. Yeah. My background in Colombia, I work in big corporations in Colombia, and I always, I was struggling with the status quo because my mind is to create things, happen things, not following process, systems, bureaucratic steps. Yeah.
Red tape. Yeah.
I was struggling. I didn't understand why. Yeah. And probably the challenge of migration is a forced entrepreneurship, but I was already one of them. Yeah. It's identified target holes in the market. Yeah. And this was the first time that I was a privileged woman in my country. No discrimination of anything. Everything that I wanted was given. And come here and become a second citizenship, is a challenge for an entrepreneur. Okay, let's show these people how capable we are and how we can contribute and why this country was built by people like me. Yeah, it just become a challenge, the money is just a result, But now the challenge is how non-for-profit organizations are going to be sustainable begging not for money, What is the business model to create well-being?
Have you found one yet?
At the moment, made by many minds, is this first experiment, no more Victoria government money, no more. If government is going to pay me, it's going to pay me because I am providing services that they need. It's by trading that we need to find the ways to be sustainable. This is the new exploration. Probably I have the luxury now, and the living in a little town where you don't need the amount of money that you need to live in a city. Allow me to do that.
So you've mentioned a few times that you are quite privileged. And I think that's really interesting to hear that from you coming to Australia, where you're almost starting from the bottom, trying to work your way up. But here you are saying, I'm actually quite privileged. Tell me about women in general. Do you think we're privileged? Do you think we have opportunity and power to run the world?
Completely. And we need to trust. We need to believe in that. There is a theory from an academic in Harvard University, and the guy is Brazilian, Paulo Freire, and he talked about the oppressor and the oppressed, and the oppressor always will be oppressor, unless the oppressed trust and put in the same level. So there is an activity in both sides. I strongly believe that women doesn't need to be in the social sector. We are not here to do social cohesion. We are here to make economic cohesion. The power in the world is around money. Who has the money has the power, and the power is in the men's hands. 70% of the big businesses are owned by men, while 70% of the macro businesses are owned by women. Probably most of us are in the social sector, while the men are in the finance and economic sector. The difference is how we know how we are going to pay our bills with our own money, how we are going to create well-being, economic well-being. Can be money is not the end goal. Money is just a tool to change the world. Money can be called swap things, but we need to create value. and we need to learn how to do it and lose the fear of the math, of the finance, of the financial projections, yes, and how I am going to generate well-being, value, money. Using it in the correct way. It's clear that when you give money to women, you generate well-being into a family. It's no more fighting and competing. It's just making change with the power that we get when we know how to manage our economic empowerment. Entrepreneurship is something that society needs to start to embrace more. Because entrepreneurs, we don't have fear. We speak our voice. And entrepreneurs are leaders, natural leaders, because of that. There is no a boss, say, managing or suggesting what to say and what not to say. Yeah. And we need people voicing their voice. Migrants in general, because we are asking always for a job, give me a job, give me a job, give me a job. Yes, when we are long-term employees, we usually women, when we get the first job, we tend to lose our voice. At least we have the enough confidence to stand up and say, this is not okay. Yeah? So this is when I said, why no? And this is an invitation for all the business associations, Big Bendigo, the council, how we are going to support macro businesses owned by women. No, giving them the fish, giving them the resources, the platform, the commercial opportunities, the complementary knowledge that the macro business need to drive and grow their businesses. Because we know that if they do good, they are going to employ or engage more women, and it's going to grow well-being for the community.
You did. It's hard to have a voice, though.
We have a voice. The problem is that we do not have a platform. If I have a voice, but nobody listen me. And there are amazing stories, amazing people that we just need to start to keep creating these platforms where they can talk. Yeah? Because it's the way that we are going to make change.
You talk about well-being, and I know you're speaking about it in a financial term. What about your well-being? How hard has it been to launch your businesses, to be an entrepreneur?
To be honest, it's not hard to be an entrepreneur because I have been an entrepreneur all my life. It's hard to be a migrant because we always need to demonstrate you how good we are. Doesn't matter what we have built in the past, always is a challenge to us. How good are you? I quite like the challenge because it's a good way to grow. But sometimes it's a little bit tired.
It's exhausting.
Yeah? It's exhausting when you need to prove yourself all the time how good you are. Yeah? Because your accent is not for the town. Yes, you need to improve your accent. Small things that challenge, and I welcome them. Okay, I need to improve my accent. I need to focus. Could be I need to find help with a little bit of my pronunciation, focusing the consonants, not in the vowels. Yeah, and it's welcome, but sometimes it's too much. It's too much when people target you because you are the Colombians in the town, and always is a question if they will do something that is similar to the culture of the town. It's hard because people don't speak in front of you. People speak in your back. And I am a Latina. Yes, and each time that I am in front of you, you know how I am feeling and what I am, that the thing that I'm saying is the thing that I'm thinking. Sometimes I struggle with people with a strategy working in the back and come with a solution in front of all of us. Yes? To say yes, very polite, to say how agree I am with you, but you are not. Obviously, I struggle with this kind of stuff. My mental health, we are resilient. Migrants are resilient. I am a refugee woman. Many things happen that bring me to this country before. I hear from a migrant woman says, you can cry. You need to wash your face and keep going. There is no another option. And I think so this is us. No time to cry. Keep going. This, if you are, I said all the time, don't worry, be busy. Australia has one of the big percentage of people in depression. And I question why Colombia is one of the happiest countries of the world. And it's because we don't have time to overthink. It's time to looking for the food of tomorrow for my children. There is no depression.
I don't know how to ask another question after that. Tell us about just one of your proudest achievements.
Proud of the capacity to create works. Yes, the amount of jobs that people have thanks to the different platforms that I have created, because just was someone of my business mentors says you are a factory of hope. And because it's just about confidence, I can do it. Proud that I also highlight that migrant women and migrants in general need a different system of education. We learn by doing. And 10, 14 years ago, nobody cares for the mom first generation. 14 years ago, in a university, I heard someone saying the solution is in the second generation, in their child. And now we have very clear that if we have a happy mom, an empowered mom who knows how to put money in the dinner table, we have a most possibility, a better future of her family and her community. And I feel very proud that I am one of the pioneers in this concept, because this concept went worldwide for a refugee woman who came here at 45 years old with no English, no money, no connections, and changed one of the perspectives of the world, because we need to invest in women, in their economic empowerment.
So that probably leads us in to our last question so very well. What would you tell your younger self?
Luz, you are beautiful. Trust. Trust in who you are and what you can bring to the world. Don't question yourself. Don't overthink and punish yourself too much. You don't need to be perfect. Keep going, Luz.
What a beautiful message to yourself. I think we all probably strive for perfection far too much. Luz, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. I didn't ask a lot of questions because you are someone that you can just sit and listen to. So much business knowledge there that would be, you know, an asset to anyone that gets to spend time with you. Good luck with everything. I can't wait to discover some of these makers. And we'll have those websites in the show notes so that other business owners, especially those that do wholesale, can obviously find them and bring those products on board and into their store. Thank you so much.
No, Kimberly, it's a pleasure. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to have this platform to talk.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know by leaving a review via our socials or connecting with us online at bbendigo.com.au.